All right, so today's daf is sponsored by Makaluzun on the occasion of the yahrzeit of her aunt, or in memory of her aunt just passed away. So it's for the zuchus for the aunt, and the aunt's name, as I read it, is Daniela Bat, looks like Chola Kalir. That's the best way I can make it. Maybe when Malka comes in, I'll be able to get it better. Anyway, so learning is Leilui Nishmata. All right, let's take a look. We're on Daf Mem tonight. So I'll begin on Lamed Tanam Beis 39b, just two lines from the bottom on Lamed Tanam Beis. Okay, so we've been talking about, you know, the problem if, you know, water and flour is like poison on Pesach, because that's the thing that can become chametz. So the Gemara says two lines from the bottom. Amar Mar Zutra lo libchi inish kidra b'kimcha da bishuna. A person shouldn't thicken up like a pot. He's got a pot of food. He wants to thicken it up with kimcha da bishuna. Means he had grain that was heated in an oven and then that was made into flour. So it's like oven toasted grain that he made into flour. He shouldn't thicken it up with that. Because maybe it hasn't been cooked so thoroughly and it's become lechimas. As soon as once it's cooked, it's not going to become chametz anymore. But we don't know if it's cooked so well, so it's not advisable. That's what he says. I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, lo lichlod inish. Lichlod is to scald with water. Tre chite bahade adade. Two grains of wheat, you know, together. You shouldn't scald two grains of wheat together. In other words, we had about scalding, like I scald the flour, I scald things, it gets cooked. But if I take two grains of wheat, and so then, Dilma azlachad of yatva b'tziria de chaverita, v'lo salak luhu dikul demayim yarba ruchta. Because maybe one grain will, like, lodge itself in the cleft of the other grain, and the water won't, you know, totally surround the grain, but actually they chimut, and then it'll come to become it. So instead of scalding the whole grain, I'll scald 80% of the grain, and then the 20% will be exposed to water, and then it'll become chametz. Okay, and Malka, I said learning was tonight, Leilui Neshama of your aunt, and I'm sorry about her passing. And the way I read the name was Daniela Bat Chola Kalir. Did I get it right? What is it? Unmute. Malka? Malka, can you hear me?
Yeah, sorry. Daniela Bat Chava Claire.
Oh, Chava, you wrote Chedvav Lamin Hey. It should be Chedvav Hey. Okay, so the Lulu Neshama of Daniela Bat Chava Kalir, Zechron Lebracha. Okay, we're on Memamad Aleph, around three lines down. He says, Va'ati Lidei Chimutz. Okay, line four. Va'amar Abaye says, Lo Lichruch. Lichruch is turning about singeing, like I take a fire and I singe something. Lo Lichruch Inish. A person shouldn't singe means like two ears of grain together. He says, Dilma nafki maya mehai ubala idach, because when I singe it, some moisture is going to come out. Maybe some moisture will come out from one ear. The ear is like that clump of grains at the top of the stalk. And then I have another clump of grains and another stalk. So I shouldn't take two ears of grain and singe them, because maybe some moisture will come out one ear and go over to the other ear, and then it'll be actually dechimutz. So I'm only Rava Ihachi afilu charanami dilmanafik mehai reishu bala idak reisha. If that's the way you're concerned about, so even with one ear of grain, maybe some water will leave, you know, from one edge of the ear and go to the other edge. He says, Ela amarava me perot ninu me perot ninu machmitzin. So Rava says, there's nothing to worry about with the moisture that comes out from the grain, because that's categorized as may peyrot. In other words, like the juice that comes from a fruit, in this case from a growing item, is called may peyrot, and may peyrot are not machmits. That's the klal that Rava says. So he says, we had this already going back to Shabbos's daf. So, I mean, at that point, you remember there was machloket Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi said the may peyrot could produce chametz nuksha, like an inferior type of chametz, but Tosfos says no, it's not machmitz at all. And Tosfos was citing this gemara. He says, "Bahadur be Abaye me'ahi." Abaye himself like withdrew his opinion that he had said about, you know, singeing the ear of grain. He says, but for a different reason, because anything that's flowing, if it's like a flowing water, that's not going to cause something to become chametz. The Amar Abaye, because Abaye said, and here we see that he, you know, subscribes to that svara. He says, the Amar Abaye hei chatzva davishuna. If you have this jug that's used in which to like heat the grain in the oven, he says, schif ashari. If the jug is turned over, I assume it's got to be turned over at an angle, but it's like the opening is heading downhill. He says, shari, that's permissible because any moisture that comes out of the grain will flow out. And so flowing water will not cause something to become chametz. Zakifa asur. But if the jug is upright, so any water comes out is just going to sit in the jug, then it will cause the grain to become chametz. On the last narrow line on Mem Amud Aleph, 48, last narrow line in Shaya. So he says, Rava Amar, afilu zakifa nami shari. Rava says that even if the jug is upright, there's nothing to worry about, even if moisture comes out of the grains. May peirot ninhu, may peirot ninhu machmitzin. Because again, Rabbi Lashita Toh holds, it's may peirot. May peirot means the water, the juice, the perspiration that comes from fruit, from anything growing, and that is not machmitz. Okay, so the basic ideas that we covered a lot of different ideas about chimutz. So so we said that. You shouldn't thicken up the a pot of food with the kimcha d'abishuna, like with the flour that was made from oven toasted grain, because maybe it wasn't cooked so well and it'll be machmitz. And Rav Yosef said you shouldn't scald two grains of wheat together because maybe one grain will be hooked into the cleft of the other grain, and then it won't actually get scalded by the water. It will be machmitz. It will become ferment. And then we had this thing with the two shibolim, with the two ears of grains, and Abai was concerned about moisture leaving one and going to the other. So Rava said it's not a problem because may peirot not machmitz according to Rava, and according to Abaye, Abaye has a different reason why it will be machmitz because it's flowing water, flowing moisture. He says then that won't be machmitz. Okay, I mean, the implication is that Abaye holds that Meper would be machmitz, but he has a different tour. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? What do you got for me, Fern?
So the Meperot, that goes to, let's say, egg matzah?
Right, that's what I spoke about this on Shabbos. I know you weren't at the Shabbos staff. Yeah, but so first there's Machloket Rashi in the Bali Tosfot, whether may peirot or machmitz or not. So Rashi holds the may peirot are machmitz, but that it just don't yield it to be full chametz. It's called something chametz nuksha, like an inferior, where the process stops in the middle. But Tosfos holds, no, it's not machmitz. So the Mechaber paskins that may peirot are not machmitz. So according to the Mechaber, you could have egg matzah. But the Ramah says we are machmir because we're concerned for the shita that it is machmitz. I assume it means like Rashi, and also we're concerned that maybe if you add a little water might be added, then it's going to not only be machmitz even more accelerated. So we Ashkenazim don't eat egg matzah unless it's for an elderly or a sick person, you know, who have difficulty, you know, chewing. Then you know there's a leniency, but otherwise we don't have it. Okay, all right.
On the issue of gebrachts, which is again you keep hearing between the lines some gebrachts, that's even within that chumrah, it's not chametz because they'll eat it on the eighth day.
Say again.
People who hold by gebrachts.
Yes. So in other words, they want it to be non-gebrachts. So what are you saying? I don't know the question. What's the question you're asking? I don't understand.
People who will not eat gebrachts over Pesach.
Right.
Will eat it on Shmini Shel Pesach.
That's true. Right.
So then they can't possibly think that it's chametz.
Well,
that's what I don't understand.
Again, in other words, with there's a chashash, a concern that it might become chametz. So on the eighth day, you know, where it's just the Rabbanan, they're not Machmir Kuli Hai. I don't know what more to say. That's the way it goes.
But they'll use their Pesach dishes for it.
Yeah, so, right. So it could be that, I mean, Mistama,
because it has a year?
Mistama, they probably hold that it's not actually Chametz, but we're just so concerned. It's like the egg matzah. Like, let's say somebody, I have an elderly person in my house, and they're going to eat the egg matzah, and I'm not going to eat the egg matzah. So, but it doesn't mean that I really hold the egg matzah is Chametz, but just like for the Chumrah, I'm not going to eat it. So whether they're having the egg matzah on my dishes, so, you know, but it's still okay. You know what I mean? So,
that's okay. Yes, okay.
Okay. All right. Welcome, everybody. Nice to have everybody here. All right. So, by the way, I want to mention something from last night. You had asked Fern last night about the why did it take so long to people to adopt lettuce. So, you know, I spoke to Ezra Schwartz today. He thought another possibility. He thought that, you know, lettuce has got a lot of bug problems. So earlier, the lettuce, in other words, like pre-DDT, so they had very little treatment for the lettuce. So lettuce would be swarming with bugs, and then they had to, you know, make sure it didn't have bugs. Then after DDT, there's like zero bugs, and then now a little bit of bugs. So that's another possibility why, you know, people didn't shift over to it. The other possibility is the, you know, you could say, you know, like, I don't know if you want to take it this way or not, but you could say, you know, like people do the way they're the tradition. In other words, the tradition was always like the crane. So they're following what their parents did and things like that. Or you could get into like that article by Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik, whether you're following like the learning, the Sfarim and the Yeshiva, or what you saw in your parents' home, but that type of thing. All right. The other thing.
Thank you for checking.
Yeah. Now the weather, I mentioned the Sal ahead of time, the weather forecast for Shabbos is in the 50s, and it's supposed to be sunny in the afternoon and stop raining. So if you're interested, I'm not doing this for you, not for me. If you're interested in coming and having it outdoors, I'll do it outdoors. But if nobody's going to come outdoors, I don't need this for my health. So Michael and Fern, are you interested, or you're just
Oh, it's Thursday already, right?
Yeah, right.
What time would it be, like 3:15?
It'd be like 3:10.
Why 3:10? Wouldn't it be 3:20?
No. Mincha is at 4. Is it at 4:10 on Shabbos
4:10?
Afternoon? Anyway, so
really still.
Whatever the time is, you'll see the time. But the point is, do you want an outdoor dafyomi or not?
I would come, but I don't want to inflict my desire on anybody else.
On Saul,
Not on Saul.
Okay, and you would come also, Fern, or not?
I would try.
Yeah, okay, so Blee Netter, I can't make an ironclad guarantee because I don't know exactly how the weather is going to unfold at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But if it looks sunny out and it's warm, and I think it will be both on those, so I think we'll have the dafyomi outside, okay?
How does Sal feel about it?
Sal? I can't hear anything.
He's muted.
What do you got, Sal?
Sal's going to Miami to get his vaccination.
Yeah, what's up, Sal?
Feels fine.
Okay, he's good with it. Okay.
I'm going to Miami tomorrow.
All right, okay. Yeah. Okay. All right, let's take a look. We're on the first wide line on Mem Amud Aleph. Okay, so 40A, Mem Amud Aleph, the first wide line. Okay, so Tana Rabbanan, in Lotzin Seorim B'Pesach, we don't soak the barley on Pesach. That means like this, as part of the process, before they would grind the barley, they would soak it a little bit, and it makes it easier to get the bran off. So you get like a cleaner flour when you soak it ahead of time. So the Brisa says, "Ein lotzin sorim bepesach v'im latat." But if you did soak it, so nitbaku asurot. If the grains crack open, they're prohibited because then there's like a process that's taking place. He says, "Lo nitbaku mutarot." If the grains don't crack open, it's permissible. It means, like, I guess that they would get like a little fat and then they would crack open. He says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shorun Bechometz, Bechometz Somtan. Rabbi Yossi says, if you see the grain is like getting fat and you want to preclude it from cracking open, then you soak it in vinegar and the vinegar will like seal it, like shrink it. And that's the way to go. All right, that's the Brisa. So Amar Shmuel ain't halacha k'Rabbi Yossi. So Shmuel says halacha does not follow the Tana Rabbi Yossi. So we'll leave out the vinegar deal. So Amar Rav Chista, Amar Mar Ukva, lo nitbaku mamash. When the Tana says that nitbaku, that it cracks open, is prohibited, doesn't mean it actually has to crack open. El kol shu manichan al pi chavit vein nit nitbakot mielihen. It means that it's like primed to break open. If I would put it on top of a barrel, apparently the barrel of wine, somehow the odor from the wine caused it to crack open. But if it's that way that it would crack open with a little push, so then you can't eat it. He says, Ushmul amar nitbaku mamash. So Shmuel says, no, the pshat in the braisa is that it cracks open. If it doesn't crack open, it's permissible. So Avet Shmuel uvda bedura debay bar chashu nitbaku mamash. So Shmuel Paskin, the way he said, there was an incident in Bay Bar Chashu. I guess the barley had been soaked and it looked like it was maybe gotten fatter, but it hadn't cracked open. He says it's permissible. He says, Amaraba bal nefesh lo yiltot. So Rabba says that a bal nefesh means a virtuous person should not soak grains on Pesach in water. So the Gemara says, "My yiri bal nefesh afilu kuli amanami." What do you mean a bal nefesh, a virtuous person? Nobody should soak it. Datani lotzin sorim bePesach. On the first wide line above and second wide line, we learned explicitly in the Brisa that we don't soak the barley on Pesach. Never mind virtuous, not virtuous. Nobody should soak the barley on Pesach. So the Gemara says, "Hachi kamar." This is what Rabba meant. Bal nefesh afilu chitin deshriri lo yiltot. If he's a virtuous person, even not the barley, certainly he shouldn't soak, but even the wheat he shouldn't soak. The wheat is shriri. It's like firmer and less likely to crack open, but even the wheat he shouldn't soak. And again, we're talking about soak. It's like a rinse, like you're rinsing it before you're grinding it. It's like to have like a cleaner flour. So Amarli Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman said to Rabba, Man decide leila abba achil nama de ipusha. Anybody who listens, he says to you. In other words, in the third person, to you, Abba. He calls Rabba Abba. He's going to eat like rotten bread during Pesach. It means like bread which is like coarse, like disgusting, because it's not going to be a clean flour. Somebody has got has to close their mic. Who is it? Michael. Yeah, you have to close yours. Okay. So he says. He says, "Akel nama di pusha daha bei bar Rav Huna latzi." The household of Rav Huna, they would soak the grain on Pesach. He says, "Ube Rava bar Avin latzi," and the house of Rava bar Avin would also soak it. Rava Amar. Okay, so let's go slowly with this. So Rava with the hay said that you shouldn't soak it, and he means even the wheat. So Rav Nachman says, who should listen to you? You're going to have lousy bread. And we see all these chachamim, they did soak the wheat. For Rava Amar, Rava with an olive said, Asur lo tot, that you're not allowed to soak the wheat. He says, Elo hadatanya in lotin sorim bePesach. But how does Rava deal with this brisa? The brisa says that we don't soak barley on Pesach. Sorin hudlo hachitishar. The implication is barley not, but wheat yes. And Rava said, you're not allowed to soak the wheat on Pesach. So he says, Loma baya ka'amar. The way Rava will interpret the Braisa is Loma baya. It goes without saying. I mean, lo zu avzu. Not only this, but even that. He says, Loma baya chitin. It goes without saying that chitin, that wheat, you're not allowed to soak. Came into it Beit Syria, Aili Behu Maya. It has like a cleft. You know, we're kind of removed from the agricultural experience, but apparently, like the grain of a wheat has got like a little cleft in it. You know, so he says, so the water can easily go in there and, you know, start a whole process. About sa'ari d'shie emeshap yerdami, but barley, which is smooth, I would say no problem with it. So kamash malan. So therefore, what the Brisa is teaching me, the way that Rav will interpret the Brisa, is certainly wheat you shouldn't soak, but even barley you shouldn't soak. Okay, so we had different shitot about soaking barley and grain, and never mind the barley, but soaking the wheat. So so Rava says you shouldn't do it, and then Rava with an olive said, and then one of the other chachamim said that Rav Nachman said no, lots of people soak the grain, the wheat, and then Rava with an olive says you're not allowed to soak the grain. So Hadar Marava, then Rava reverses Shita. So first he said you can't soak the wheat. Now then he changed his position. Hadamarava mutar l'tot. He said, you're allowed to soak the wheat. The Tanya, because we learn in the Braisa, Yotzin b'pat nekiyah v'hadro'ah, that on Pesach, one can fulfill one's obligation for matzah, b'pat hadro'ah, and Patnakia Bhavadra. Patnakia is like a very clean flour, like solet, like a very fine flour. They translate it as like white bread, but or Bhadra is the coarse flour. V'yiv shranakia below latita. So he's assuming that on Pesach you're going to bake the matzahs, and the Brisa says explicitly that one could fulfill one's obligation at the Seder with a patnakia, with a clean, you know, like a high quality matzah that's very clean. And we don't think you can get the high quality matzah unless you soak the wheat before you soak the wheat ahead of time. So apparently there's no problem soaking the wheat. So, and then that would be even true even if you bake the matzahs before Pesach. So that's his raya. So then he's changing his position. He said you could soak it. So Eifei Rav Papa l'Rava. So Papa posed the following question to Rava: Hakimachin vaslatot shel nachrim shel kfarim torim shel krachim tameim. It says that the flour and the solet of non-Jews. This is not necessarily talking about Pesach. This is just talking about in general. I think. One second. Let me make sure. One second. Yeah, this is just talking about a din. It was din and tuma. He says that the kamachim is the flour, and the slatur is the fine flour of nachrim, of non-Jews, shel kfarim tohorim. So if it's from a kfar, from like a dorf, from a little village, it's permissible because they don't wash the wheat ahead of time. So if the water hasn't gone on and it's not mekabel tumah, that we've had that many times before. He says, v'shel krachim tmein, but in the big city they do wash it and it's tamei. So the kfarim maitaima, why by the kfarim is there no problem with tuman tara labi shum the latte, because they don't wash the wheat ahead of time. He says the kakari lay solet, and nevertheless the Tana the Brisa calls it solet. So your whole raya was it can't be that you'd have the patnakia, the fine quality flour for the matzah, unless they washed it ahead of time. But we've seen this other Brisa that the goyim in the small villages don't wash it, and it's called solet. It's fine flour. So the Gemara says Triguma Akimcha. So Rava will explain that Brisa is talking about the Kemach. In other words, that when it says that the Kfarim is not Metame, it means the Kemach. In the big cities, it is Tame, that's the Solet. So he'll interpret the Brisa in a way to say that, in other words, the coarse flour from the villages, that's a non-Jewish flour, so it's not subject to Tumah because they don't wash it with water. The fine flour in the big cities, they do wash it with water. It is susceptible to tumah. So it's not a kasha against Rava from that Brisa. He's able to deflect the kasha. Okay, so again, Rava had changed the position. Originally he said you're not allowed to wash the wheat on Pesach. And then he says you are allowed to do it. And so far he's doing okay. Okay, Bater, let me just do a few more lines and then I'll pause. Okay, Bater Danafik, after Rava left the base medrash, Amar, Rav Papa said, "My tamalo emele mehai." Why didn't I ask him from here? It's always that way. Like you have, you know, a conversation with somebody, you think, "Why didn't I say this? I should have said that argument, the other thing." You know, it just didn't occur to me. So Rav Papa says, "I had a better kasha to ask against him." So he says, "My tamalo emele mehai." The Amar of Zera, Amar of Yirmiyah, Amar Shmuel. Shmuel says, "Chitin shel menachot ein lotitin otan," that the wheat of the menachot, the meal offerings, we don't wash it in water. Ein lotzin otan. He says v'kakari lehu solet, and nevertheless the Torah calls it solet. So I see that you can have a fine quality flour without washing it, and that was Rabbi's whole proof that we said that you have the patnakia. So he says hadar marava. Okay, so that question he never got to ask him. Okay, let me just pause for a second because I did a lot up till now, and let's just hear if there's any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did so far. Is everybody all right?
How did Rava?
Where do
I miss
we hold
Rava
the barley?
What say again? What's Fern?
Where do we hold by barley on Pesach?
So the Brisa said, "In lotzin." I mean, the truth is, we don't wash. Halach lemaisa today, we don't wash any grains on Pesach. Okay, that's halach lemaisa. But Medina the Gemara said on the top, the first wide line, the quarter.
No, I was going to ask you if we eat barley on Pesach. If Ashkenazim do.
There's different types of what you call barley and barley. And sometimes there's a pasta that people call barley. It's not really.
No, I know what a barley is.
But barley, yeah, you could, it's not typically available in the marketplace, but you could have
like a pearl barley.
You could have a barley matzah. Absolutely. They have some matzahs I mentioned earlier, or maybe it was on a day on Shabbos or something like that. Like Celiac people can't have the matzah, from the wheat. I think they take the oat matzah, but you could have a barley matzah. I mentioned.
But can you eat barley on Pesach? I always thought that was.
No, and again, like the pasta barley, you can't. That's chametz. But barley that grows like wheat, you could have on Pesach, just like you have wheat matzah on Pesach, you could have barley matzah on Pesach. I mentioned on Shabbos, one of the Shabbos, as I said, how during World War I, so the yeshiva and Radin, spread out, everybody went different places. So one of his Talmidim came back to the Chafetz Chaim and said where he had been. They didn't have matzahs for Pesach because they didn't have availability of wheat. And the Chafetz Chaim was upset because they could have made the matzahs from barley. And then he resolved to teach, to go through those sugyas, in the yeshiva. But in Achinami, you could have barley.
So it's a barley stalk barley that.
Right, right. The grain, like the wheat barley. The
but not barley. From mushroom barley soup barley. No.
Okay. Now, what do you got for me, Yosef? What's with you?
Can you explain how Rava answered the question?
So Rava had said, so the point is that Rava said you can't have a fine quality flour unless you wash it ahead of time. That's what Rava said. So then he asked him from the Brisa. The Brisa said that the Kemach and the Solet of non-Jews in the village is not, you don't have to worry about Tuma. Because they don't wash it in water. So you don't have to worry about Tuma. That's what the Braisa said. But Agav Orcha, you see that you could have fine quality flour because otherwise, what is it? Kemach and Solet. So Rava explains the Braisa that when it talks about the village, it's talking about the Kemach. In other words, it means that when it says Kemach and Solet, it means the Kemach is what the non-Jews use in the village.
Kemach was not washed.
The Kemach was not washed. And then the
Solet was washed.
That he was washed, right. Okay. All right, everybody good? Okay. All right. So I'm going forward now. All right. So we're 10 lines above the bottom on Mem Amud Aleph. Okay. 48 Mem Amud Aleph. Okay. So Hadar Marav. Then Rava again revised his position and said mitzvah lil tot. So Rava went from one extreme to the other. He started out, you can't wash it. Then he said, you are allowed to wash it. Now he says, mitzvah lil tot. You should wash it. So you should wash the grain that you're using for the matzahs. The pasuk says, "Ushmartem et ha-matzot." You should guard the matzahs. Eat lo debay latita shimur lamai. So unless he's assuming like this, that we take it that it's obvious it can't have chametz for the matzah. That I know because chametz, the Torah says I can't eat chametz. So it says "Ushmartem et ha-matzot." Rabbi takes it is that I'm doing latita. I'm washing the grains and I have to guard it at an earlier stage. That it doesn't become chametz because I'm doing that washing ahead of stage, and that's what the Torah means. Ushmartem et ha-matzot. He says ishimur delisha. If you'll say that it's talking about shimur delisha, now this is a little tricky. The shimur delisha is there's two types of shimur. One shimur is the act of guarding it that it doesn't become chametz, and then the other is my kavana that I'm doing it l'shem matzos mitzvah. Each one, I have the physical act and then the kavana. So he says, what's the other possibility that it says Shmartem et ha-matzot? Ishimur delisha, if I'll say it's like having the kavana at the time the kneading is done, so shimur delisha lav shimur hu. That doesn't count as shimur. We'll see in a minute. The Amar Rav Huna says, b'tzeikot shel nachrim, that the dough of non-Jews, adam olei kreiso mehen, a person can, in other words, take that dough, bake it into matzahs, and stuff himself with it. Uvavad shel chal kezayit matzah ba'achrona, provided that he eats a kezayit matzah at the end, to be yotzei the mitzvah. He says, ba'achrona in b'rishona lo. In other words, the last one is going to be matzah. The earlier ones that he made from the dough from the non-Jews, not good. My taima, mishum to avad be shimur. So, that the shimur that he's doing with them apparently doesn't count. So he says, why not? Can he do shimur me'afiyah ve'elach? In other words, it means he'll put it in the oven, he'll shape them, and that'll be shimur in the shem matzah mitzvah. He says, shimur mi'ikara ba'inan. So Rabbah takes it that you need an earlier shimur. In other words, the shimur that you're guarding it, that it doesn't become chametz, and even the shimur that you have in kavana, the shei matzis mitzvah, but that you're doing after lisha, is not sufficient, not adequate to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. You need a shimur at an earlier stage, and the shimur at the earlier stage is going to be with latita, at the time you wash it before you even grind it into flour. So if that's true, then Rava has a proof that you should do latita. In other words, you should do washing it and do a shimur at that point. Umimai, the Gemara says, how do you know? Dil mashani hatam dividana danachit l'shimur lo abed l'shimur. He says, maybe the case, that brisa is not so helpful, because at the time that the dough was made, the flour was mixed with water, the goyim still had the dough. He says, aval hecha dividana danachit l'shimur abed l'shimur. But if at the time it was mixed with dough, when the flour was mixed with water, you had kavan on the shei matzis mitzvah, hachinami the shilamur delisha habishimur, then it would be a shimur. So again, Rabbah brings a proof, but the Gemara somewhat deflects the proof. In other words, with the dough of the non-Jews, Rashi points out there's ways to judge whether it's machmitz or not just by looking at it. So if Rashi says, if you look at the first wide line in Rashi downstairs, he says shemakir b'hen shlo hechmitzu. He recognizes by looking at it that it didn't begin to ferment. She'ein sham lo karnei chagavim. You don't have the antennae of the chagavim, of the locust, you know, like the surface of the dough has not begun to crack. Lo chsifu panav, and it didn't become lighter. In other words, the color didn't become lighter. So he recognizes that it didn't become it. But the point is that Rava wanted to bring a proof from here that it must be that there is an earlier stage latita, and you need shimur l'shei matzis mitzvah, and to guard it also that it doesn't become chametz. And the Gemara says, no, it could be that it's the from the time that the flour and the water is mixed, but it's just with the goyish and that kavana at that point would be adequate, and maybe that's what the Shmartem and Matzot is talking about. But here, in other words, you're picking up its dough already. So in the Konami, you're watching it when you put it in the oven, but when it became the dough, it was the goyim had it. So maybe that's why you can't be able to say the mitzvah with it. Let me just do a few lines and then I'll pause, okay? He says, for 3 lines to the bottom, Afilu haki lo hadabi Rava, notwithstanding that apparent kasha, Rava was not choser from his position that it requires latita. He says, the amar luhula now with mahafri kipeng, Rava said to the people, or that Rava is saying that the mitzvah shimur goes back to an earlier stage. He said to the people who are mahafchei kipeh, they flip over the bushels of grain, ki mahafchitu, when you flip it over, it was like out in the field. He says, afichu l'shem mitzvah. You should have in mind l'shem matzis mitzvah when you're flipping it over. Al meksava shimur mi'ikara mitchilatovi atzofo ba'inan. So we've seen that Rava holds, I need shimur going from the earlier stage. In other words, Mishat Katsira. In other words, I need Shimur from the time of harvesting. That's when I need Shimur. Shimur, and again, Shimur means both things. I'm watching that it doesn't become chametz, that water doesn't go on it. And my kavana is that it should be l'shem matzos mitzvah. He says, Mar Berei de Ravina on the top line on Mem Amud Beis, Menach Le'ime Ba'arbe. His mother would gather the grain for him in buckets, meaning that she would, in other words, also have Mishak Katsira that in mind that it should be used the Shem Matzah's mitzvah. Okay, now this is the sugya for Matzah's mitzvah and what kavana, from which point you need the kavana. So let me just see for 1 second. Let me just get a sheet out. 1 second. There's a lot of Torah on this. Where is it? One minute. Members, I need 11:27. Okay, I got it. Yeah. All right. Oh, this one we did. One second. The Slamet Chet. 1 second. Okay, here I got it. All right, so the Shulchan Aruch says as follows. This is in Siman Tafnun Gimel. The Mechaber says, Achitim she'osim behen matzat mitzvah, the wheat that one turns into the matzat mitzvah, tov l'shamran shlo yiplu aleihem mayim mishakatzira. It's good to guard. He doesn't say required, but it's good to guard. Tov l'shamran. He doesn't say chov l'shamran. Means the chachili should do it this way, but if you don't have it, it's not ma'ake. But he says the Ar Gedolei Poskim who's saying that mitzad adin you're mechuyev to do shmira mishakatzira. L'halacha we pask in the b'diavad that we would rely on the sheet of the Mechaber to fill the mitzvah chitzit matzah b'leil seder, even with chitim that weren't guarded from the time of the katsira. He says, but the Beir Halacha says, l'chachila b'vaday nechon l'hachmir l'matzah shel mitzvah l'kach dafka matzah shmur mishak katsira. So the Beir Halacha says, l'chachila, you should definitely be concerned that it or make sure that you're using wheat that was guarded l'shem matzah mitzvah from the time of the katsira. Now, he mentions here,
This for the Seder or the whole Pesach?
Certainly for the Seder. Certainly for the Seder. For the whole Pesach, I am not certain about. Lechora, if it's a din in chimutz, so lechora, it should be, in other words, it should be for the whole Pesach then. If it's concerned for chimutz, so it should be for the whole Pesach. So he says, now, you know, I don't think I have time. If I have time at the end, well, I'll talk about this. There's a piece from the Chasam Sofer. He talks about, you know, when it comes to the Katsira, so the Jews don't do the harvesting. In other words, they're watching the non-Jew doing the harvesting, but the Jew is watching to make sure that no water goes on the grain. But when it comes to the Lisha, the kneading, then we insist the Jews do the kneading. So he's addressing, why is it that I can have like a non-Jew, in other words, I'm intending it should be the Shem Asas Mitzvah. Why is it that the Jew just watches and that's good enough? So he says the Maisa is the mixing of the water with the grain. So in other words, when he's watching with the water and the water doesn't come on the grain, that's good Shmira. But with the Lisha is the water coming onto the grain. So I have to actually do the Lisha to make sure it's done properly. All right, now, let me just. All right, who's got questions, comments to us that we did so far? Yeah, Michael, what's up?
How does something growing in a field not get water on it?
Yeah, so again, so we said that when it's growing, it can't become chametz. When it's growing, it can't become chametz. But we quoted the Tshuvas HaRashba, this might have been on Shabbos, the Tshuvas HaRashba says that once it reaches maturity, even though it's attached to the stalk, then if water comes on it, it could become chametz, according to the Rashba. But without a doubt, once it's no longer attached to the ground, everyone agrees that it, without a doubt.
I understand that.
Yeah.
So it rained on Sunday. Monday you do ksira.
Right.
It's got to be moisture in that material, right?
So the...
You cut it. It's harvested by machines, I assume.
Right.
But there's moisture there.
Moisture that's on the grain?
Yeah, from the night before it rained.
Yeah,
from the towel in the morning.
All right, you're going to have to ask one of the mashkichim that goes out to the south. I think in the southwest they do it. I don't know if they're harvesting necessarily the day after a rain. My sense is that
you think the rabbi can say when they're going to harvest?
No, I think the fields are very dry, frankly. I think but I don't know. I'm not a baki. I'm not a baki on this. Okay.
Okay.
All right, but you get the main idea. You get the idea. Okay, let's take a look. We're on Mem Amud Beis, and I have to wrap it up soon. Okay, so the top line on Mem Amud Beis. Okay, and we're one third through the Masechta already. Yesh Koach to everybody, and the Siyum is on March 22nd, which will be a little over a year since this COVID lockdown. All right. The top line. But the good news is Michael will be immune on February the 1st. He'll be in the clear, at which point I expect you inside, Michael, for the Daf Yomi and at late Mariv. No more excuses from you, Michael. Okay. All right. I can't hear the Hezber. Okay. Hahu Arba, the Chite, the Tava Bechishta. There was this boat with grain that sank in the Chishta River, you know, a few days before Pesach. So Rava permitted the Jews to sell this grain to the Goyim. In other words, he wasn't afraid. In other words, the grain is coming into contact with water, but now the grain is taken out of the water. So nobody, it's like Michael was saying, nobody knows the difference. So Rava permitted to sell to the non-Jews. So Efi Rava Bar Levi Rava. So Rava Levi asked the question, Rava, from the following Braisa. It says, "Beged Shabbat Bo Kilayim." If if I have a garment that there was like some kilayim in other words, some shatnez, he says, Hareza lo yim kareno lenochri, a person shouldn't sell it to a non-Jew because we're afraid the non-Jew would then sell it to the Jew, and it's not easily detectable. Lo yasebo mardat lechamor, and you shouldn't make it into a like a blanket for the, you know, a saddle blanket for the donkey, because we're afraid again that that somehow that's going to end up as a you know, he says here that concerned the thread might unravel, become wrapped around the person's flesh, forbid threading a garment under a person. In other words, he's going to ride on this saddle blanket. All right. Anyway, this is going to run to a shatnez problem. But you could make it for shrouds for a dead person, because dead person is not chayiv in mitzvot, and if it's shatnez, it doesn't make a difference. It sounds a little strange to think of that way, you know, that you could bury the person in shatnez, but that's what the Gemara is saying. You know, I was thinking like tchias ha'meisim, you wake up and you have those clothes and you're wearing shatnez. So that doesn't sound so good. But anyway, but that's the way it works. Okay, so the Gemara says, Lanachri mai tamala, why are you not allowed to sell it to the non-Jew? Labishum dahadar mizabin l'Israel. Is it not that the non-Jew is going to turn around and sell it to the Jew? So same thing with this grain. The grain sank in the river. It came into exposure to water. Now you're pulling the grain out and drying it off and selling to the non-Jews. The non-Jews are going to flip around and sell to the Jews. So Hadar Marava. So Rava then changed his position and said, Lizbinu kama kava kava l'Israel. You should sell it in, like this is before Pesach, in small amounts to the Jews. He says, Ki hechi de kalya kami pischa. So they'll finish it off before Pesach. So that's the way that goes. Okay. Now Tan Rabbanan, in Molin and Akhtar of Pesach. So so you shouldn't add flour to a cooking pot on Pesach. But Rosa Shiyimlol, if a person wants to do this, notenina kemach macharkach notenina chometz. So the chometz, the vinegar, is going to have an accelerated cooking relationship with the flour. So I'm adding flour to stew, but then I'm adding like this, you know, reagent, the vinegar. So the vinegar is going to accelerate the cooking process for it, and then it won't become chametz. Some say you could put the vinegar in first and then the flour. So ideally the flour first and the vinegar, but some say even the vinegar first and the flour. So the Gemara says, man yesh omrim. Now usually when we say yesh omrim, it's Rabbi Natan, the Gemara in Horia says, but here we have a different yesh omrim. Man yesh omrim, a Rav Chissa, Rabbi Yehudahi. So Rav Chissa says we can identify the yesh omrim with the Tana Rabbi Yehudahi. The Don, because we learned the Mishnah, this Mishnah is Masechet Shabbat, ha'ilfas v'ha'kedera sheviran me'rodchin. If I have a frying pan or a pot that I took off, sheviran me'rutachim, I took it off when off the stove and it was boiling. He says lo yitein l'tochan tavlin, I shouldn't add spices to it. That's a kli rishon. This is a din on Shabbos. Nothing to do with Pesach. It's a kli rishon. I shouldn't put the spices in the kli rishon. Aval notein l'tocha ka'ara. But if then whatever the content of the pot was is put in a kli sheni, then I could put the spices in the kli sheni. Though it's not so pashut halacha l'maisa with the spices, and I think we spoke about it during when we did Masechet Shabbat. You know, the spices are. Yes.
Them.
Remember, the spices are like kalei bishul, and they can be cooked quickly. So it's not so pashut. He has a little blurb on it here, but I'm not going to focus on this right now. He says, Rabbi Huda Omer, l'chol hu notein. Rabbi Huda says, you can add the spices anywhere, into any kalei, chutz mi devar sheish b'chometz v'tzir, except for something that's got vinegar or tzir, or the brine. In other words, the vinegar and the brine is going to cook the spices. That's what he's saying. So the just one second. Right. Okay. So Rabbi Huda says, right. Yeah, he means in a klisheni, right. So he says, so he says you can add it to any type of food that's in a klisheni, provided, in other words, a klisheni, have a green light to put the spices in a klisheni, provided there's no vinegar or brine in that klisheni. So clearly we see that the vinegar, the brine, does the cooking. So we said before that with the flour, There's an opinion that says Yesh. So again, the Yesh Omrim in the Bryce above said that even that I could put the chometz in first, the vinegar in first. So that's, in other words, the issue is when the vinegar is in first, it's in with other foods. So is it being diluted in its force, its power to do a cooking process? So with the flour. So here we see, we can identify this with the Tana Rebbe Yehuda, because Rebbe Yehuda says, I can add the spices to any pot, any klisheni, provided there's no vinegar or brine in there, because the vinegar or brine will cook it. So that identifies with the Yesh Omrim. All right, let me just do a little bit more, and then I got to run. He says, so the Gemara says, so that's one Hesber. So that was Rav Chista's idea. So the Gemara says, Venukma ka Rebbe Yossi. Why can't we say the Yesh Omrim follows the Tana Rebbe Yossi? The Tana we learn in the Braisa, Rebbe Yossi Omer, Shorin b'chometz, b'chometz somtan. Rabbi Yossi says that you can soak, if you have soaked barley, like soaked barley that's swelling. In other words, if we spoke about this earlier in the daf, if the barley looks like it's like swelling up, so I can soak it in vinegar, b'chometz somtan, and the chometz will like squeeze it, or will keep it shut. So we see that Rabbi Yossi subscribes to the idea that the chometz is a strong. So it seems like it doesn't matter whether the vinegar was placed on the barley, or when the vinegar was placed on the barley, will always have that impact. So ki ashmin le Rabbi Yossi hanimili de ita be'ene. That's only when the chometz is, you know, chometz by itself. But with a mixture, we don't know how Rabbi Yossi will hold with that. So it's not muchrach that Yesh Omrim would be like Rabbi Yossi, but with Rabbi Yehuda is a good fit. Ula Amar, Echad Zevi Echad Ze Asur. Ula says whether the flour comes in first and then the vinegar, or the vinegar is in first and then the flour, they're both prohibited. Mishum Lech Lech Emrina Nazira, Skor Skor Lekarma Lo Tikrav. This is like an idiomatic expression, like we tell the Nazir not to go anywhere near the vineyard. In other words, a Nazir shouldn't drink wine, but we say, you know, stay away from the vineyard altogether, like do a harchaka. So here also with the flour, with the vinegar, so he thinks it's going to lead to problems, don't get involved with it, and that's the better practice. Rapapa Sharila the Bordiki Debe Reish Galuta Lemimchakde Rabbi Chasise. So Rapapa permitted the bakers of the Reish Galuta to thicken the kadeira, but chasise, so Rashi learns, the chasise, Rashi learns is the oven-dried grain. In other words, like we had this at the beginning of the daf. So I'll come back to this in a minute. Rabbi permitted that. In other words, the idea is the oven-dried grain is like, it's already cooked. He says, are you going to permit this in a place with so many avadim? The house of Reish Galuta, they have a lot of avadim. In other words, it's going to be looser and looser and looser. It's going to lead to problems. Some say Rav himself thickened up the pot with chasise. Now, with this is, look at the last Tosfos. Rav Machu le kidra b'chasise, two lines from the bottom. So Rashi says the chasise are these oven toasted grains that were then made into flour. So the idea is that it's already cooked, so it's not going to be chametz. He says v'kasha dahalael asrinam. So the Gemara at the beginning of today's daf said that we shouldn't put the oven dried grain, you know, the oven dried, you know, grain that had been made into flour, I shouldn't put it in a dish because maybe it wasn't totally cooked. But like Amanda Palik, and nobody's cholik with that. So how could the Gemara here say that you could do it? So Venira Lari, Kidapirish Ba'aruch, Bechasise Kemach Shal Adashim. So Lari likes the pshat that the Aruch has, that Chasise is lentil flour. Deindar Kamala Voli Dechimutzkalka, because they're not machmit so much. So this gets into the issue of kitnio that we Ashkenazim do. In other words, like the idea is that, you know, that so some ask on this that lentils, you know, they don't, there is no lentil flour, is never going to become chametz. So he has a like a blurb in footnote 23. He says, but you get the idea. And so I don't know if it actually leavens, but the idea is maybe it looks like it leavens, but that's the piece with that. Okay, I have 30 seconds for questions on
I thought the issue was the kitnios that it's mixed, that a grain would be mixed in with it.
Yeah, so there's different explanations for why we have the minhagim for kidney oat. So one explanation is we're afraid of chametz being mixed in. But another explanation is that with the kidney oat, you could maybe convert it into something that looks a lot like chametz, and therefore we don't do it. Like you have like those rice cakes in Japan and things like that. That's a different hesber for why there's a
prohibition. Instead, we make matzah meal bagels.
So the
and rolls.
Yeah. So it's really just is what you're really saying.
Potato starch breads.
What you're really saying, and you can ask this any shita, why can't I take kidney oat and process them on Pesach in the same way that I process grain on Pesach? I eat wheat flour on Pesach, and I'm just careful that it shouldn't come to Dechima. So why can't I take a rice cake and just be careful with all the hidurim and then cook the rice cake, you know, make sure no water goes on it or whatever for more than 18 minutes, and then I cook it and I do all the kidney oat, but we don't do it that way. That's the answer that I would say. All right. In other words, it's like a low plug. That's what I would say, but it's a good ha'ara. All right. I got to do, and any other questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good? Everybody happy? All right. Let me do the next piece of Gemara, and then this will be it for the till Shabbos, when I'll see you all, hopefully, at 3:10 p.m. on Shabbos afternoon. And I will be looking for all of you. Okay. Now, let's take a look at the next Mishnah. So, Manitim, Einonim Kemach Latoch Charoset. Now, Charoset doesn't mean the Charoset used at the Seder. They would have a dip, Charoset, and the Charoset had vinegar in it. So, I shouldn't put flour into the Charoset, O Latoch HaChardal, or in terms of the mustard. If I did do that, I should eat it right away. In other words, here we're afraid that, you know, there's a chimitz that's going to take place. That's what we're concerned about. We're afraid that the flour is going to, in other words, if there's some water in there, there's some water in there. We're afraid that it's going to become chametz very quickly. So I shouldn't add the flour to it or to the mustard. But if I put it, I should eat it right away. Rabbi Meir Oser, Rabbi Meir Oser, it sounds like I can't even eat it. Now, a different halacha. Pesach lo b'mashke lo b'meperot. Again, the Korban Pesach, we're going to have this later in Masechta. I can't cook the Korban Pesach. I can't, you know, boil it in water. This is atuk lumi menuna, but I can't cook it even in mashkin, like a drink, or meperot, like apple juice or anything like that. It has to be tzli. It has to be roasted. But I could like baste it a little bit, or I don't know if this is the right word, but in other words, I could like, you know, put some of the fluid on it while it's roasting on the fire. Then, Michael, can you mute yourself? The May Peirot of a Nachtom, of a baker, is like he has water that he washes off his hands periodically to cool off the hands. He's working with the dough for the matzah. But the water that he washes his hands in, you should pour out, because the flour in there is going to become chametz. All right, let me just do the last piece of Gemara, and then we'll take it. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Kahana, machloket l'tocha chardal. So in the Mishnah we had a machloket, everybody agrees that I shouldn't put flour into the charoset or the chardal, but if I did, I should have to eat right away, and Ramirez says I shouldn't do that. So Rav Kahana says this Shita of Rameir, that I should eat it right away, is only when it's in the chardal, in the mustard, of Otoch Haroset, Divrei Kol Yisarif Miyad. But into the Haroset, everybody agrees that has to be burnt immediately. So the idea being that the pungency of the mustard delays the leavening of the inserted flour. So mustard will retard it long enough for you to eat it, but not the Haroset. So Avatokaro said, Vitani Namihaki, we learn a brisa that supports Rav Kahana, a notin kemach latocha charoset, a person shouldn't put flour in the charoset, vimnatani yisaref miyad, and if you did, you have to burn the whole thing. Latocha chardal, if you put it in the mustard, Rameir Omer yisaref miyad, Rameir says it has to be burnt right away, vachachamim omrim yechel miyad, let me say you should eat it. So we see mafurish in the brisa that the only machloket is when it's in the mustard, not when it's in the charoset. Amar Rav Huna b'Reiz Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, halachi k'divrei chachamim. Shmuel says halachas like the chachamim, so if you did do it, you have an option with the mustard to eat it. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak l'Rav Huna b'Reiz Rav Yehuda on the top line on Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. Acharoset kamarmar or achardal kamarmar. So he was saying, how do you learn the Mishnah? Do you learn that the machloket between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, and you have the option of eating, is charoset and chardal? Is that the way you learn it? Which is not the way we learned it up till now. Or is it just on chardal, just on the mustard? So he says, or achardal kamarmar. Amalei l'may nafkamina. So he says, why should there be any difference between case A and case B? I think everything should be the zelbazach, the same thing. So he says, no, l'drav kahana, the amar of kahana, Rav Kahana said above, machlok l'tocha chardal, he says the machloket is only with the mustard, aval l'tocha charoset d'vrei kol yisarif miyad, with the charoset everybody agrees to be burnt right away. So amar lei, so he said to him, lo shemili, I haven't heard this, klomar lo svirli, I don't hold from that distinction, I hold the machloket is straight up, both with charoset and the chardal. Okay, so the Gemara says Amar Ravashi Kibati Rav Kahana Mistabra. So Ravashi says it's more logical the way Rav Kahana learned, which is the original way we had. He says Mida Amar Shmuel, because Shmuel made the statement Ein Halacha K'Rabbi Yosi. The Halacha doesn't follow Rabbi Yosi. Remember, Rabbi Yosi said that the chometz will arrest the chometz process with the barley that's about to go plump and something like that. So Shmuel says Halacha does not follow Rabbi Yosi. So my love, simuti hud lo tzamit, is it not that the vinegar will not arrest the process, it won't contract it, hachimui mechamas, but it will cause it to ferment. So if that's the case, the flour, the charoset has the vinegar in it. So with the flour and the vinegar, that would have to be burnt right away. The vinegar is going to cause it to become mechametz. It's not going to be mechametzit. So in Achinami, that's why Rav Kahana makes more sense. So Gemara says, lo, dilman lo mitzamit tzamit. Maybe it doesn't like cause it to contract, but lo chimu mechametz. It doesn't cause it to ferment either. It's just like nothing. All right, so the Gemara kind of leaves that. All right. And, all right, one second. Let me see if I have anything else to say here. 1 minute, daf mem. All right, I think we're pretty much good. Now, let me just mention, any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far tonight? Hey, what's up, Bob?
What would be the point of putting flour on charoset or on mustard? Why would anyone do that?
Well, they would have these dips when they would eat, and apparently the flour would like thicken up the whole concoction and make it more tasty. That's why you would want to do it.
So it was like a dip.
Yeah, it would not like it was a dip, yeah. All right. Anyway, now, again, the learning tonight was Lilui Neshama of Malka's aunt. That's Daniela Bat Chava Kalir, right? Okay, Zichron Levracha. All right, let me end the recording. Let's see, end the recording.